live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 199. We're almost at the big 200. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you 24 hours later?
Now, you're talking about 24 hours later from our last conversation, man. Man, what a week. I'm thinking more like week to week, man. So I just kind of, you know what I'm saying, was thinking like, you know, what transpired since last, you know, saying folks kind of talked with us, you know, since episode 198, you know, and I was expecting, you know, not necessarily a slow weekend or a slow week of sports takes and, you know what I'm saying, sports commentary, right? You know what I'm saying, as we're going into the Super Bowl this weekend, but no, that was not the case. So I know you'll give us a rundown here in a couple seconds, man, but wow, that's all I can say, man. You know what I'm saying? Wow, we have lots more to talk about than just Super Bowl, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Big show tonight. We got the Super Bowl preview, the final preview before the big game on Sunday. Rams and Bengals. We'll talk that. We'll break that down. We'll finally give you our picks, our official picks for the game. NFL news and notes, the hit, and then the big portion, the National Basketball Association. We are less than, 21 hours away from the NBA trade deadline, 3 p.m. tomorrow. Yep. Movers and shakers. Some people have made some moves. We have the Indiana Pacers trade to talk. If you missed this last night, you'll hear us talk a little bit about it again. Plus, you can always go back on the Facebook page and replay that video or on our Crossroads Sports YouTube page. That video is up there as well. So you can watch it there as well. But we've got other news and notes with the NBA trade deadline around the league itself, taking your calls and more. We've got college basketball, a tale of two different teams last night. Purdue Boilermakers were in action also with the Indiana Hoosiers, or at least part of the Indiana Hoosiers were playing last night. I look around the league, the country, with some top college basketball games. Last night was a real good acquisition of a lot of games that were really, really good last night. And then a couple quick hitters to talk about, and then we will wrap the show this evening. So we've got a lot in 2 hours. John, let's dive right in. And I think I want to dive in first. I want to go ahead and start get this out of the way, the big news. We got a big game this weekend, the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 56, Rams, Bengals, SoFi Stadium. The field is set. The media days are over. We've got a few more interviews and walkthroughs to go through, and then the big one on Sunday night at 6:18 p.m. Eastern, 3:18 Pacific time. But big Super Bowl matchup, Joey Burrow versus Matthew Stafford. Somebody's going to get their first Super Bowl between these two. John, we've seen a lot the last couple weeks. We've had a week off the digest. We talked about it last week, diving in between the offenses. The players were less than, 4 days away. Has anything changed your mind, or what are you kind of expecting as we approach game day?
I just know that as critical as I have been of the offensive line through the Cincinnati Bengals through this whole entire playoffs, you know what I'm saying, playoff run of theirs, I know – you know what I'm saying, that they're drilling, they're running all kinds of drills to try to just improve, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, just for this game. You know, they've given up, I think, you know what I'm saying, for the season, they had the highest sack totals on quarterback hits and sack totals. But they've kind of, like I said, they've kind of defied the odds and still got here. And that's based on, you know, the totality of their whole team. It's Joe Burrow is the head of the snake. How about, you know what I'm saying? We can't say that. But they have great wideouts and Higgins and Chase. They have a defense, secondary defense, you know what I'm saying? It probably doesn't have a whole lot of names or whatnot that are all pros or whatnot. but they, you know, they get takeaways in big moments. So, but unfortunately, the real killers of the team has been its offensive line and the hits that Joe Burrow has taken. But to the credit, they've taken their lumps and here they are. So I would just assume that, you know, they know it, they've heard it, you know what I'm saying, more than just our show has kind of commented on it. So I would assume that, they're taking that, to heart, and we'll see a better protection for Joe Burrow come Sunday. That being said, you know, it's one thing, you can scheme all you want, but if you don't have the ponies to block, you know what I'm saying, Aaron Donald and Von Miller, and to a degree, you know what I'm saying, Eric Weidel, you know what I'm saying, eventually, you know what I'm saying, the talent will kind of catch up to you. I know you're not necessarily asking me what my pick is just yet. I'm just kind of laying the land out for everyone. Offensively, to be honest with Brandon, both of these teams are kind of mirror images of one another. You know what I'm saying? Stafford gets better protection. But he's also can make, I won't say boneheaded plays, but he also, totally transparent, he can also throw interceptions at a critical point of the game. Not like, our boy here, Carson Wentz, or even, to a degree, Jimmy G, but it has been times where Stafford has made a play where we're like, whoa, interception like that. So, I don't know. If you ask me who I think is going to win, I still think the better team overall wins, and that's the Rams. But I still, like I said, I think it's going to be a real close game. I mean, on my pick'em, I went with it 7 to 8 point spread. I don't know the official spread, but I think that would be the scoring gap between these particular teams.
The gap is right now. Vegas has it. Last week when we did the show, it was Rams -4. Tonight, it's Rams -4.5 now. So it is kind of trending towards the Rams getting bigger. But I will tell you, John, just kind of looking into this matchup, we got this will be the 15th time that these two teams have played. The Bengals lead the all-time series 8-6. The Bengals have won 3 of the last 4 against each other. The last time these two teams played was back in 2019. Seemed like so long ago, prior to COVID. Rams won 24-10 in London. Give me one second. All right, Rams won 24-10 in London. Be their first postseason meeting, obviously, with the NFC and AFC. Ron Tolbert will be your referee. Looking at these two teams, John, the Rams and the Bengals are both the 4 seed from their conferences, making the first time that both Super Bowl teams were 4 seeds or lower in the first Super Bowl since the NFL started seeding it in 1975 that doesn't feature at least one team who was seeded number 1 or number 2. Rams, though, John, we know throughout the season the Rams were kind of up there in that top 1, 2, 3, 4 area all season long with them. Mm-hmm. So we knew what to expect with them. As I'm looking at it, John, more and more between these two teams, looking at the spread, Rams -4.5, I think my heart says I think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford gets from bottom of the barrel to top shelf with this. I'm going to bet with my head. I'm going to take the Bengals +4.5 in this game. And I know everything you said was right with guarding. Listen, they got to find a way to block. They've got to find a way. But, when you look at it, I've seen too many blunders from the Rams defensively in that secondary this year than I have with Cincinnati. And with that said, with a young guy, I also think, John, I'm going to give it to, obviously, the quarterback play. Stafford, I believe John's going to come in here and try to play a safe game to where he knows kind of, listen, this might be one of my only shots here left in my career. I'm going to play a safe game, maybe not take too many chances, maybe a conservative game effort. Well, Joey Burrow, shit, it's his second year in the league. He's probably going to come out with no regard, take some extra chances. Those championship games, those teams that win those championship games, John, whether what sport it is, they take those chances, you know? And I just feel like the moment's right for Burrow. I hate saying this as a Steeler fan, but I'm going to take the Bengals plus the 4.5. They may lose the game, and that's fine that the Rams win, but I think it's going to be close.
Right.
And I believe it, when it comes down to field goal kickers as well, they trust Evan McPherson is a lot trusted more than Matt Gay with his previous injury. So I'm going to take the Bengals 4.5, but I would not be surprised if the Rams win it.
Well, I can't knock, you know what I'm saying, that analogy. Like I said in the chat, Joe Burrow has all the tools to kind of overcome, you know what I'm saying, any defense, any team deficiency, you know what I'm saying? He's got, like I said, he has all the tools. I think a lot of times people focus more so on his, you know what I'm saying, his fashion sense and some of the, I don't want to say cocky, he says a lot of things confidently, you know what I'm saying, in his interviews. So we'll see, you know what I'm saying. Brandon, I'm also kind of hyped about the Super Bowl halftime show, you know what I'm saying, as we have, you know what I'm saying, Dr. Dre and Eminem and Mary J. Blige and, you know what I'm saying, and Kendrick Lamar. I'm kind of hyped about that to see what that looks like as well, man. So it's going to be a big spectacle, as it always is, but, you know, seemingly this is even bigger, you know, even bigger show than previous years. So I'm just kind of hyped to see it all kind of transpire. And, you know what I'm saying, from the old Colts fan in me, no Tom Brady. So it's a win-win-win all around for me, even if the, you know what I'm saying, even my prediction doesn't come true, or if my prediction does come true.
Okay, let me give you some of my bets, John. Some of my favorite bets that I'm going to bet in this game. By the way, take it to how you want. Off the last 7 Super Bowls, John, the team that's lost the coin toss on the start of the game has lost the Super Bowl. I was going to say, at 7 straight Super Bowls, the team that lost the coin toss or deferred it, so obviously they did not get the ball to receive to start the game. They've lost 7 straight. So do that as you wish with whatever bet you do. But I will be doing the coin toss bet. I'll be doing it's heads, tails. Here's the thing with it. It's minus 105. So and everybody talks about how damn it shit. It's a 50% chance, and yet you're paying 55 cents on the dollar for the bet. Obviously DraftKings or whoever, FanDuel, Barstool Sportsbook, all those places, they got to get their little portion of it with the juice. So I always like the heads and tails bet. Obviously the spread, I'm going to probably most likely end up taking, as I said, the Cincinnati Bengals plus the 4.5 in the spread. Over under this game, John, right now it's at 48.5. It's dropped. It was at 50. Now it's down to 48.5. I would not be surprised if it is a big defensive game. And the damn final score ends up being like 13-10. I would not be surprised if that's the case. By the way, last time I think the Rams lost the Super Bowl. They were in the Super Bowl with McVay against Brady and the Patriots. They lost 13-3. So there is that chance where that explosive offense could become a dud. And I did see today that, God forbid, say it's 13-10 and McPherson hits 3 field goals, but that doesn't work. 2 field goals and whatever, and it's a big 60-some yarder to win it. If he becomes MVP, John, the odds right now for him to win MVP, my God, it's plus 5,000. I'm just telling you, if you even put $10 on that, that's $5. That's $500. $500 just for putting that bet on there. Just think about it.
Putting
just
the bet on the kicker. On the kicker. Yeah.
Just think about it. It's a little fun bet, you know? Hey, come on, kick 6 field goals, be the MVP, first time ever, boom, boom. I also like John opening kickoff to be a touchback. I say no. They always use a brand new football. Brand new football, never been touched, beginning of the Super Bowl. 4 of the last 5 Super Bowls, the opening kick has not been a touchback. They've ran it out. Right now, to run it out right now is plus 130. So you're betting you're betting $100 to win $130. I like that bet. Opening kickoff not be a touchback. Quarterback to throw an interception, Joe Burrow or even Matthew Stafford, over a half of the interception, which is obviously so you don't get a push. Yes, I think both quarterbacks throw at least one interception in the game on Sunday. Right now that's plus 115, and the other one is plus 105. If you can get those out right now, get those bets in. And then also, this seems like an easy one. Cincinnati Bengals McPherson to kick a field goal 45 yards or further, plus 140. I believe that's easily going to hit. I think, like I said, I think he's going to. I think with the Bengals, you need to get as many points as you can, no matter how you're going to do it, right? So especially if it's one pointed out defensive games. So if the Bengals get stopped on third down at the 35-yard line, I mean, shoot, that's a 47, 48-yard field goal right there. Boom, there's your bet as soon as they hit it. So that's another bet I really like there. Field goal over 45 yards by McPherson, yes. Those are just a few I have, six or so that I have. I'm looking to put more in, obviously, as we get close to game. The national anthem bet, of course. I got to do my research. I still got to see who's singing it and then look at some previous versions of it that they've done and see what the time is. Typically, it's like over under 2 minutes for that. And then there's also some bets on the halftime show itself, John, as to what it's going to – what is the first song? Who's performing the first song? So that'll be some bets I'll look for. And then as well as the Gatorade, color of the Gatorade. I haven't looked up the stats last. I do know I've missed it the last two times. The one time they didn't even throw water. Or they didn't even throw it, Gatorade. It was a water. So they called it as clear, and everybody lost their bets. Everybody was pretty pissed about that because it wasn't Gatorade. It was water, counted them as a loss because it was clear. So there was some... I'm going to probably go with red this year. I think red will probably be the color. It'll be kind of a neutral color. You're not going to do blue because if the Bengals win and it's blue and it goes on to them, that's a weird color. But if it's orange and it goes on the Rams, it's a little, and so I'm going to take orange and blue, cut those out of there. Green's too generic. Purple could be a sexy color. I love this. I love purple Gatorade, but I'm thinking it's going to be red this year. So I'm going red Gatorade. Just a few bets I like going into this Sunday's games. So can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Got them all written down.
I see, man. I don't know about betting on the Gatorade color, dude. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't gamble anyway, man. So if I did gamble, I like I said, I would just take, you know what I'm saying, just the game in itself. But although it's rather interesting and entertaining when you find out that they make all those other type of side bets and whatnot. It's crazy.
Give me 1 second. They have the spread up now. Right now, the favorite to be thrown is orange at plus 250. None is 350. Blue is 400. Red and pink is plus 600. Purple, I said purple, right? Plus 1,000.
You said purple.
For the highest odds right now is purple. So we'll see what happens. So I'll tell you, John, colors, because this is a stat they've kept. Blue, orange, blue, yellow, clear, orange, blue, orange, none, purple, orange, yellow, and then clear. Colts won, it was clear. Steelers won, and Super Bowl 40, it was clear. And then the other time the Steelers won, it was yellow. So, I'm telling you, it's, the colors are coming out. Blue's won through the last 3 years. I just can't see blue happening again. So, stay away from that color. All right, John. Oh, by the way, I would be remiss. I put out a video on Facebook Live the other night. We always like making our picks, my pick, your pick, our friends' picks, our mother's, brothers', cousins' picks. Everybody loves making predictions. My dog, Tucker, has made, John, we've had him now just over 2 years. He has made his own Super Bowl pick. Each of the last 2 years. His first year, John, it was the Chiefs and the 49ers. He took the Chiefs. That one. Okay, so he's 1-0. Last year, it was the Chiefs and Bucks. He took the Chiefs again. Because what you do is you put the treat down on the logos and see which one he goes to, and that's what he goes with. He picked the Chiefs again. It lost, so he's 1-1. This year, the other night, we did it again. He went with the Bengals. So he took the Bengals to win. Now, I will tell you this. There is a trend. Thank God he didn't. The Kansas City Chiefs weren't in it again because he probably would have picked the Chiefs probably to win it. Number two, I think secretly Tuck likes the AFC. And it's not hard to do that when you've got a Steeler fan and a Colts fan doing this show. And he's sitting in here during every show that we do. So he knows football. He knows the AFC conference. So that's three straight AFCs he's picked now. So let's just keep an eye on Sunday to see how his pick does. See if he gets over 500.
Can he pick when spring is coming?
No, he can't do that. Not even close.
That's just a groundhog thing. Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah, we may have to do a Jonathan Burt song with the turtle. Put a piece of lettuce on the logos and see what we get.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Right.
You may have to. Toby the Turtle. I don't even know if Toby's a name, but it sounded good.
I got three, so I'll see what I can come up with.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Get one of those. Lovie Smith, John. Lovie Smith is named the new Houston Texans head coach in a tumultuous time down there in Houston. They thought Josh McCown was going to be the coach. They went about face and stayed in-house and went Lovie Smith. The Deshaun Watson saga is still trying to play out down there. My goodness, Houston. Yeah. It looks like another year of trouble.
Yeah, it's a mess. I don't care what anybody says. Though Lovie Smith is definitely deserving of a head coaching position in the NFL. Again, per reports, and I know people are going to say, reports can be, falsified and nobody really knows. But per reports, hell, you already had this gentleman in your building. But per reports, he wasn't a candidate until, it didn't really make sense when you're Josh McNown. And again, there's nothing but respect. At least, I mean, from locker room and former players and even current players, when they talk about Josh McDowell's IQ when it comes to football. Unfortunately, he's never coached at the collegiate level, and he's never coached at the professional level. I think he might have a little bit of coaching experience around the high school level. How many years he played in the league? Like 12 or 17, something like that. I know that's a big number. But he played, as a backup. But it would be eyebrow raising and heavily critiqued and criticized and a bunch of if he kind of not only cut an African American but cut a lot of other coaches who have spent time in trenches as coordinators or secondary coaches in the league when he hasn't done that yet at all. So all that being said, those plans got scrapped. There was talk about Josh now coming in to be up underneath Lovie Smith in some capacity, maybe as a quarterback coach or an assistant offensive coordinator or something like that. I mean, that's what I heard. But, Lovie Smith, is he a retread? Absolutely, But, we know he's not there, Think about, David Culley, who they removed, versus Lovie Smith, who's made it to a Super Bowl, Brandon, he probably should have been the coach last year, right? But what does that mean long term? Making Lovie Smith the head coach. I don't necessarily foresee it as a long term deal. They still have a lot of question marks as far as rosters concerned. As far as the roster concerned, from not only the offense and defense, hell, even the special teams, so uphill climb, for Lovie Smith. It's kind of like a what we'll see. But Brandon, I wouldn't be surprised if next year we're talking about another coach for the Texans.
Oh, wow.
Being named.
Okay. And I thought Culley kind of got a bad rap at the end of the season. I mean, he did all he could with what was available on that roster.
Right.
Between that traded and who was sitting out and whatnot. Hell, they won games. I think they won 5-6 games. So
no, they won four. Yeah, they won four games with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
and not nothing particularly, you know what I'm saying, wild or crazy from a running back position, or even from the, you know what I'm saying, from the, you know, wide out and tight end. So yeah, you're right. What you say, kind of got, you know what I'm saying, a short draw, short end of the stick. So hey, they got to figure out though, Brandon. You know, I don't make this whole segment about the Texans. But they got to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback, regardless of anybody thinks of him being guilty or innocent, dealing with his off the field issues. You know, you still have the, you know what I'm saying, when he asked to be, okay, I look at it like that. When he asked to be traded, removed all his social medias from the Texans and asked to be traded and told him he wasn't coming back, that right there should have told the team, get him out of Dodge. You know what I mean? It's right. Better to have people who want to be in your building than to people who don't want to be in your building. As we can see with the, and you know what I'm saying, parallel wise with some of the trades we see in the NBA, you know?
Right.
So again, that's definitely a head scratcher. You know what I mean? If a guy don't want to be there, make the best deal that you can for your franchise. You know what I mean? If they know some, you know what I'm saying, quirky, shadowy crap about that particular Deshaun Watson, you definitely should have got cut ties with him. But it has not made sense in my mind, and I'm not going down that, you know what I'm saying, if he did or didn't do, you know what I'm saying, the judiciary process that still has, you know what I'm saying, yet to happen, you know. I was looking at it on the field. On the field, he didn't want to be there, but you still kept him even before all the accusations kind of came out. So again, and then when it came out, it kind of made his what you could get in return. Like when you negotiation with a team, okay, you wanted three number ones. Well, we don't know if the kid's gonna play a guy. So now that goes down to one number one or whatever. You know, so I don't know, but. Again, even before that, they should have just traded it when he said he didn't want to be there. So, I don't know. I don't give the Texans too much of a pin move for next year. If they win five games, six games, it'll be, you know what I mean, it'll be amazing. But again, like I said, I think we're having this discussion again next year because they have a lot of holes they need to fill. And you know what I'm saying, everybody else is getting better just as long as, you know what I'm saying, just as much as they are.
Yeah, and another move that we kind of looked at with Deshaun Watson initially was Miami and transitioned into Miami. John, they've hired their new head coach, Mike McDaniel, who I sent you a video complication of him in press conference. Oh my God. The nerdy professor, who they I guess might be the new young gun that might flourish like a Sean McVay, a Matt LaFleur,
right.
Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
But man, head scratcher, and I laughed. I had to send you that video of that because that was pretty funny.
He looks to be because he's technically a minority candidate, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody looks him up, he looks like, you know what I'm saying, the Revenge of Harry Potter or something like that. Okay, but he is a savant when it comes to running offenses. That's what I mean. Much as me and Brandon just kind of call him nerdy professional, all those things. He does look the part, but he is a savant of offensive football. But he also looks a little bit more more malleable, and that ain't good either, man. He looks, you know, versus like why so Brian Flores got fired because, you know, saying regardless if you believe what, you know, saying if you, but Flores said on his way out that they wanted to throw games or. He was a fly in the ointment when ownership wanted him to do something that he was like, no, I'm not going to do that or play that way or whatever. This particular, you know what I'm saying, like I said, coach they have right now looks to be more malleable and more, you know what I'm saying, okay, all right, we'll try that if you want to do that. I'm not saying tank game. I'm not saying throw games, but I think there's some other things that kind of play into part of why Flores was fired. From Miami, and I think it has to do with more so bucking heads with ownership and what they want to do. If it comes out to be proven that, you know what I'm saying, that they wanted him to throw games for $100,000 per game, that's a whole nother, you know what I'm saying, a ball of yarn. And that's not going to be a ball of yarn, it's going to be a big ball of I almost cussed, man, but it's going to be a big bag of crap that the NFL and that particular Stephen Ross would have to lose. He had to lose his franchise, right? But I think, like I said, man, all that's kind of going to play out the rest of the rest of the offseason once the Super Bowl is over, whatnot. It's still going to be somewhat of a drama. Flores is not going to get a job. I know we went from the Texans to the Flores now. Flores is not going to get a job anytime soon in the NFL. We shall see. But like I said, Coach McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins, yes, he looks like the Nutty Professor. And when I looked at his resume, he's a savant. He's been a coordinator for like a long time for several different teams. So we shall see. With his biggest challenge, probably is going to be. Winning that locker room over, with his personality, quirkiness of personality, and the locker room being like, you know what I'm saying, game to game, let's go out, and then, you have to, I'm not saying, a lot of times, like, NFL coaches, it's not like any given Sunday where you have these speeches, where we're down and we got it. It's not like college football, rah-rah. There's some of that. There's a little bit of that in the NFL, but that's what his biggest challenge is going to be, proving to these guys that he knows what he's doing besides being a coordinator. It's a different level of leadership from coach to coordinator. So, I'm sure he'll be – we're going to be on it, not just me. We're going to be on it. And, we're going to be critiquing them. Miami Dolphins have a winning season the last two seasons, man. So, wouldn't it be within the realm, if anybody from the 313 is listening, not 313, what's the area code down there, 303, I think it is. Anybody from the 305 listening, wouldn't it be, like, this dude has to get you to the playoffs. You just fired a guy who you had great positivity, the last two seasons, right, going into. This guy, regardless of him being new or not, has to get you to the playoffs, right? You have to win 11 games or 12, whatever it takes to, win the AFC East. He has to get you to playoffs. So we will be looking at more intently on that particular team. So it's gonna be an interesting offseason.
What has been the pulse of it down there with our friends, our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports down there? You've talked to them. Their take on this situation?
Yeah, they're like, our folks, our good sponsor Mavericks, are Colts fans because they're transplants, right? But they're surrounded by the John Gruden Tampa Bay Buccaneers won that Super Bowl. Florida is a Miami Dolphins. The state of Florida is, from my understanding, is a Miami Dolphins town, state. State, not town, but state, right? It might be a little bit different now that, the Buccaneers won another one and the Miami Dolphins haven't won one in a while, right? But if Stephen Ross is throwing games, man, that's not going to be looked at. That fans are a very proud fan base. They still, like, people, Brandon, like your age and my age will still throw up the fact that they went 12-0 in 1970 whenever, and nobody was even – I was barely even born. When Dolphins went undefeated and won the Super Bowl, but that is a very proud fan base that takes their football, even if it's a losing football, very seriously. Lose the season very seriously. They're hoping that is if this guy is here. Brandon, I think with that particular fan base, I still think they're trying to figure out who the quarterback of the team is going to be. Is it going to be Tua, or is Jimmy G going to be transplanted over here somehow, some way, or some other quarterback? Because they feel like, they've won 10 games last few years or so. They feel like they're on the come up, go ahead.
I'm glad you said that because, Jimmy G right now, the 49ers asking price is a second or third round pick and a player. So that's kind of what the asking price is for them for Jimmy G right now.
Okay. Well, next, you know, the Dolphins have capital. They can facilitate that trade. Coming out of college, Brandon, I think they're – I can't say coming out of college. That's not fair. Because Jimmy G, nobody knew who Jimmy G was coming out of college necessarily. We didn't know, playing for the Patriots, then Bill Belichick kind of said, had put it out there that he was the heir apparent. We didn't know who Jimmy G was, right? And then, he gets traded, goes to Super Bowl and all those things. So away we go. So on paper, and I know we don't play this game on paper, he is an upgrade over Tua, right? So if they're saying quarterback inconsistency is what's keeping them back, then that would probably be the position they want to upgrade at. Again, Tua is often injured. You could say it would be unfair, but at this point, man, it would be bad if he got another playing somewhere else. A fresh start somewhere else. Competition with another team. Or maybe even sit a year behind a veteran. But I don't think – I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think they're going to try to upgrade the quarterback position. That's what I just put my cards out on the table. I think they're going to try to upgrade the quarterback position. I don't think our guy, the new coach they have there, is there to make this work. I think they've seen enough of Tua to know that he's often injured and he's kind of inconsistent in some of his throws. So, but with that being said, Brandon, there would be a bunch of teams, the suitors, that would take Tua because they'll feel like those coaches that feel like they have enough essential parts to make whatever Tua's inefficiencies work for them. So that remains to be seen.
Louis Riddick. He's doing another interview. This time he's interviewing for the GM position with the Steelers. So that's five candidates now in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens with that. I don't expect him to get it, but
with going back to the NFL. He had spent some time with the Eagles, right, in their front office after his playing days or whatever. But I think he always wants to see, be honest with you, Brandon, I think it's a money thing with him. He is a TV guy at this point. And if a team can't pay him TV guy or equal to money, he can just go back to ESPN.
Yeah.
So okay. I think he has a passion for it, but I don't know about him. When I saw that, I was like, well, I'm glad. That they're interviewing him, but he got that ESPN money coming in. He ain't think about the Pittsburgh Steelers. No disrespect.
MVP. The NFL awards are tomorrow night. John, who gets the MVP award?
Oh man, it would be out of the realm of imagination, man. That the NFL did something quirky and made Tom Brady, on his way out the MVP. He got the numbers.
I mean, say he had his numbers.
Yeah, he had some. He had like two piss poor games. Tried to, like, this past season that he probably would like to get. Off his mind and off his resume. But he's got the numbers. He's got over 5,000 yards this year, and I don't know. I think he's got like close to. I know it's over 45. I thought it was over 45. Shame on me, Brandon. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know he's over 40 touchdowns. I think it might be 50. I think. And like 12 interceptions, man. So they won their division, which is what they didn't do last year, but they still made it to the Super Bowl. And like you said, he's the lead dog. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be shocked if tomorrow they announced that Tom Brady is the MVP. I don't think they go that route though. That would be like a fairy tale. Go out riding out to the sunset. Consolation prize. You didn't get the Super Bowl or have this beautiful run in the playoffs. So here's your MVP. I think they give it to Aaron Rodgers because even with the controversy of him and his status, his vaccination status, or him and lying to the NFL. His numbers are right up there with Tom Brady, and he didn't have his. I think he had like one game. Oh, yeah, it was even his lackluster games weren't as bad as the two lackluster games that Tom Brady kind of, you know what I'm saying, pissed down his leg. But they did, as I say that, they did lose. Like, didn't Green Bay, they lost to the Detroit Lions, and they lost to the Minnesota Vikings. I do believe that's correct. yeah. But, I think tomorrow when it gets unveiled, it's between those two guys. And if push comes to shove, twist my arm, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Tom Brady, 5,316 yards passing, 700 yards passing more than last year, but obviously we had the extra game. 43 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. So, and previously, the year before, he threw 40 touchdowns and 12 picks. And then the year before that, he only threw 24 touchdowns. So, I think I'm going to probably put a little bit of money on Brady just because it's a good way for him to go out. And
right.
I think they look at Brady more as our golden goose than they do Aaron Rodgers, their redheaded stepchild. So, we'll see what happens with that. John, I want to hit our quick ad reads, and then when we come back, dive straight into the NBA. Note to self, John, I totally spaced on putting your audio in. So, yeah, one more week, and I'm going to put it in. So,
that's cool. We'll take care of it live.
All right. We'll be back after these words.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lightings, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out on online at www.maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank Wiseman Logistics. They're your Amazon delivery service, both shipping, both commercial and domestic, 365 days a year, 7 days a week. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Shipping all packages on time, commercial and domestic. Wiseman Logistics.
All right, we are back. John, let's dive into the association. Frankly, the Indiana Pacers. We talked about it last night, Caris LeVert trade early in the week. Let's talk that trade first. On Sunday, Caris LeVert went to Cleveland for Ricky Rubio, who's out with a torn ACL, a protected, lottery-protected first-round pick, and a second-round pick went to Cleveland as well. Or excuse me, did not go to Cleveland. We had two second-round picks come from Cleveland to us. So we lost LeVert. Got Rubio, which Rubio is going to be an expiring contract. Either we can turn before the deadline tomorrow, or at the end of the season, it's off our books. We ain't got nothing to worry about. We get that salary back. I kind of did like that trade. You kind of mentioned yesterday on our Facebook Live, you were kind of okay with that trade as well.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You're talking about the LeVert trade. Yeah, you know, you send LeVert to Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland this year, believe it or not, they're buyers this year. They're sitting between third and fourth in the East. Believe crazy as that sounds, unpredictable NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Kevin Love playing a six man role out of his mind, and they need more support from the guard position, especially from the shooting guard position. They're rock solid up front. Given Evan Mobley, potential rookie of the year, he's probably like third or fourth in consideration. and they have they got the kid from the Nets, Jerome Allen, who's a force, you know what I'm saying, in the middle. But you know, they need a little bit more like an offensive firepower, and they were sellers. I mean, I'm sorry, they were buyers, and guess who was selling? The Pacers, right? So, LeVert on a I said it before, man, LeVert on a playoff contending team, because I don't necessarily think Cleveland can get to a championship. I mean, anything's possible, right? In this NBA. But picking up LeVert, man, it kind of edges them. Like when playoffs come to start, man, they have a guy that can get a bucket. On the Pacer team, I thought he played a lot of hero ball on nights when he probably should have passed more, or when his shot was off. On this team with Cleveland, he won't get that opportunity to play hero ball. They'll depend upon the hit to get buckets in critical times. But so you think about some of his games where he shot like 9 for 24 or worse, 8 for 30. You know what I'm saying? That will not happen in Cleveland. They have a more of a balanced attack on offense, and they have bigs that actually play together and complement one another and don't whine about. Sorry, Miles, turn to fans. Don't whine about their role in with the team. So. You know what I'm saying, what you get back in return for Caris LeVert, yeah, Cleveland's going to win a bunch of games. They're going to – so the pick that they're sending back won't necessarily be a lottery, but it will be a first-rounder. You can – I know I joked about, you know what I'm saying, what you can and can't get at the bottom part of the draft or even in the second round. You just have to make sure you land a guy that's going to stick and not spend a whole lot of time in the G League or can't even make your team. When you pick, you know what I'm saying, in the 20s. You know what I'm saying? If correct me if I'm wrong, Chris Duarte, the Pacers picked him at pick number 17, right? I do believe. That's, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So you can find guys out of, you know what I'm saying, the top 12 picks that are considered lottery that can contribute right away. You know what I'm saying? If your scout team's smart, if your scout team is on its game. So,
He's
13. Okay. So again, okay. Well, 13, 20. But I don't really. It's 20. You can find value with a guy. You know, what I'm saying in the 20s, you can. So, Pacers wasn't necessarily going nowhere fast with Caris LeVert. I know. It's not. You know, saying good to speak about Victor Oladipo in a positive light here in Indiana. Pre-injury, Victor Oladipo, Caris LeVert was not that guy. He, you know, saying it looked like he could be a Victor Oladipo type of player, but he's not that guy. You know, saying I'm talking about pre-injury Victor Oladipo. You know, post-injury, you know, when Victor started getting Achilles and whatnot, knee injuries, it was obviously a different Victor Oladipo, right? But I don't know. It's a good partner to waste. Caris LeVert has a lot of families. This is his uncles, the singers, LeVert, are from Cleveland. So he already has a lot of family. You know, in that particular area of the country. And away we go. So we parted ways right there. And they didn't necessarily send a guy to basketball, however you feel about Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? If you know what Joakim Noah says about Cleveland being a vacation destination, remember that sound clip of when Joakim Noah's days were playing. But it's not necessarily basketball purgatory, especially with the Cavs winning right now. So I never had a bad word per se to say about his time here. It just didn't work out. For the long term. So, you know what I'm saying, Caris LeVert is now a Cleveland Cavalier, Pacers, for, you know what I'm saying, to build for the future.
Yep, absolutely. Fast forward 48 hours later, the Pacers make another move yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
Big trade. Domantas Sabonis, Justin Holiday, and Jeremy Lamb all go to Sacramento to the Kings. And Tyrese Haliburton, Tristan Thompson, Kardashian, and Buddy Hield all come to Indiana. Indiana gets two scorers, Carlisle mentioned, I read some reports today, Carlisle really wanted the shooting in here for this team, that, you know, in this possible rebuild that we're going to be doing. They wanted some shooting, and Halliburton can shoot. John, he's having a great second year. The other night, he just had 15 points and 18 careers and 18 assists in a single game. He can shoot from outside. It might not be the best-looking shot ever, but he can shoot. Buddy Hield can come in. Buddy Hield can shoot. Now, it's not the Buddy Hield excitement level that we had maybe per se 5 years ago, back when he was the National Player of the Year for Oklahoma going to the Final Four before having a disaster of a game. But Buddy Hield can still play. Buddy Hield can still shoot. They come to Indiana. Hield still may be on this trade block before tomorrow to get moved to another spot. But Sabonis, Mr. Double-Double, the Sabonis-Turner era is over. Sabonis is out to Sacramento while we still have Miles for now.
So when that trade kind of came over, man, I've taken a lot of flack over the last 24 hours, Brent. I have.
Yeah, you have.
You're a veteran. Well, you know, I put my Pacer pants back on, my Pacer fanboy hat back on, and though it's not necessarily tanking, I when you say rebuild, and I like the word retool, okay? So I want to put it more back in context. I know we got real argumentative last night with Decott. Shout out to Decott. I see him on live, right, looking, chatting. I thought he was going to call in, but, we'll catch up if he don't. But when you say I like the word retool better than rebuild. So, because if you're telling me that I'm trading my all-star, and again, folks who's listening, you know what I'm saying, about a month and a half ago, Sabonis asked to be traded for whatever reason. Either, you know what I'm saying, either he was bucking heads with Carlisle, I don't know, or we know, you know what I'm saying, they had a locker room revolt with, you know what I'm saying, previous coaching regimes that were here. Or he was bucking – oh, no, he was – we do know for sure that he was – you know what I'm saying? Him and LeVert had issues from time to time playing together, right? So about a month and a half ago, Sabonis asked to be traded, you know what I'm saying? I think, that, you know what I'm saying, front office was like, come on, you know what I'm saying? But think about it, you know what I'm saying? Because guys are sometimes petulant. They can – you know what I'm saying? Things can be patched up over time, but that wasn't the case to be, you know what I'm saying, in this particular move. You brought up some great points, you know what I'm saying. We got Tyrese Halliburton. He is, both of these guys, those that he's coming back, he's the gem in this particular move. All rookie, you know what I'm saying, 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying, like he jumped up. It's just been his second year. He's jumped up tremendously as far as his stats is concerned and playing time is concerned. Still, though, all rookie, you know, that was my big thing. All rookie is one thing, all star is another. So when you trade my person, you know what I'm saying? And again, I'm living in the world of the Red Auerbach, because that's what I came up with. Red Auerbach and, you know what I'm saying, you know, Danny Ainge, you know what I'm saying, make the smart trade, you know, and Jerry West, make the smart trade that makes your team better, not racially break even, okay? Because Tyrese Halliburton is on the come up. When we brought in Sabonis, Orlando didn't want to pay him, right? That's why he got traded to Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't know how to use him. Pacers brought him in. You know what I'm saying? Remember how we all felt good when they traded Paul George to Oklahoma? Paul George lied or whatever. You know, so that was the story they told us. Yeah. Paul George lied to us, and they traded him for Victor Oladipo. You know, so Sabonis was on the come up. There's no way that he wasn't, because the Pacers gave him come up money to extend to stay here, right? So,
right.
I just would rather have him and Halliburton together, and for the future. And then, you know, saying I guarantee you, you know, saying it wouldn't be necessarily we would still have opportunities for the rest of this season, but next season would be a little bit different, because then you have a good guard that's going to play versus with Brogdon. I know I'm throwing out names left and right here. Brogdon, this kid plays similar game to Brogdon, but does not have the injuries, okay? Brogdon might play tomorrow and then miss the next seven games. And that's not even hyperbole. That's the truth. That's just how his tenure has been with the Pacers. It's gotten worse. You know what I'm saying? You can see why the Bucks didn't run to re-sign him, and like his name wasn't necessarily attached to a whole lot of teams after being a rookie of the year. He was rookie of the year his rookie season, right? So I just thought this was somewhat more of a, after I thought about it and released, you know what I'm saying, gave away some of the emotion and looked at, got my notes on where I, you know what I'm saying, my previous notes on where I had Tyrese Haliburton being drafted at and how high I had him drafted. His particular draft class. I just think, though he is younger, there, you know, he's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a lateral move, really. So you pair that, so, you know, again, Kent Crowder still missed, Sabonis is gone. Brandon, I said it last night, I don't think he's spending no more than two seasons with Sacramento, and then some other playoff team is asking about Sabonis, because then his contract is a little bit more something that they want to absorb. You know what I'm saying? The Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, the Nets, you know, there's no way you're going to have a walking, talking, triple-double machine like Sabonis not play for the Kings for the rest of his playing days. It's not going to happen. He's too good, okay? But the way we are here in this new rebuild, we have a, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, when we get everybody together in a practice and whatnot, we have a great dynamic backcourt with Chris Duarte and Tyrese Haliburton. I just don't necessarily like it's not a tank, right? I just don't, I don't like the word rebuild. And if you are going to rebuild and trade Sabonis, then you better get more than just one first rounder, which is basically what Tyrese Haliburton is, and that's what they got. One first rounder. They got some of their.
Buddy Hield was the sixth pick overall just 5 years ago.
Stop, Brandon. Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is on his first chance to get out of Indiana. I'm not gonna say he's professional. He's not gonna pout like Christian Thompson's already pouted, right? But on his first chance to get out of Indiana to go back to California, and everybody knows you can read between the lines to where I'm trying to say he's trying to get to. On his first chance to get back there, he will, you know what I'm saying, ask the Pacers, yo, can you get me a contract buyout or take whatever you can get to get me to facilitate a trade to get to California? And I'll just say California, okay? Because his skill set works better with the Golden State Warriors, because he won't have to be even the third guy. He won't even have to be the fourth guy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, Brandon, he's not long-term here. Not even two seasons of Buddy Hield do the Pacers want, to be honest with you. Yeah, I know he don't want it. but, again, you can't crowd spill milk, man. You have to, you know what I'm saying, embrace the change that's kind of coming. Do the Pacers, I talked to some of the folks who kind of chime in with the live. Do the Pacers want to win? You know what I'm saying? That's another show for another time, you know. But I don't want – you know what I'm saying? I thought it would be Miles Turner first before it would be Sabonis.
We'll bring in our guy, King of Trolls, Reggie Sykes. What's up, Reg?
Hey, what's going on, man? Man, you know, I see Brandon is doing his Robin Miller Jonathan is doing his Robin Miller impersonation, his Dan Dockage impersonation, where he's trying to make people mad at him. Because whatever he's saying, if he don't want that Snickers bar, he better go ahead and eat that Twix, because he's not himself right now. You know what I'm saying? We all know that Thompson is going to be a buyout, or he's done after this year. That's the salary dump. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. You know, people making jokes about keep your daughter away from him. They don't have to keep their daughter away from him. If you're in a Kardashian, he don't want you anyway. But that's neither here or there. But Hyde wants to prove itself, and I think he wants to be here. And you look at the possible nucleus of this team, you can't say what this team's going to be like, because, first of all, you can't say what the old team was like because everybody was injured. Secondly, the trade was A-plus trade for the Pacers. I think Hyde wants to prove himself. I think the Pacers, I think Hyde has, what, 2 years left on his contract, or is it three?
He's a free agent in 2024.
Okay. So he has 2 years left. I think that they're going to see what he can do, you know, in the short term right now playing with these guys, and they're going to see what they got. And if they like it, he'll be here. If not, I don't think he really wants to get out. I think he wants to prove himself because he didn't really – actually, he's having a pretty good season this year shooting threes. I think he's only behind Steph Curry in shooting threes this year. I could be wrong in that. But I'm almost positive that's the only person he's behind in shooting threes. So I like the combination of not Carras. What's the rookie's name? From Puerto Rico.
Duarte.
I like that in Haliburton. I like Miles Turner because Miles Turner does what he's told to. Miles Turner has played the roles that the Pacers have asked him to play. You know, people talk about Miles. Okay, Jonathan. If you want to say I'm up in JMV's butt, I'm up in JMV's butt. But I agree with him. Miles will never be a poster player. There's a lot of players that we think in the NBA should be poster players, but they're not. They're not poster players, and some of them will never be because the game has changed. Shit, shoot. Some of them too young to know what a poster player is. Some of them too young to know Team Elijah was, Charles Barkley. They're too young to know what a post-up game is. They're too young to know about a sky hook. They're too young to know about Bill Walton. No,
well,
they know.
Hold on there, Rich. Like everybody, people say that, man, and then I have to question, and not you, but some of those other experts. There are post up players here. You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid is a post up player. You know,
shoot. How many threes you shoot a game? Giannis is typically not a post up player. Giannis goes downhill and gets into the post. I don't consider a poster player to me is when you're in the paint with your back to the basket and the guard feeds you the ball, Moses Malone style.
How those shooters get open when he got his back to the basket in Milwaukee? How those shooters get open when Joel Embiid got his back to the basket? You know what I'm saying?
It's not like Charles Barkley.
It's not like Charles Barkley.
Right.
No, it's not like Charles Barkley. No, it's different. They've expanded. It's not even like Tim Duncan. You know what I mean? They've expanded the power forward, the center positions. They make them shoot.
Right.
They make them shoot from the outside now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing though, Red. I just gave a whole, you know what I'm saying, dissertation on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they got post up players. They just play their role. They don't cry about.
They are a weird. I like them. I mean,
right.
You know, most of them, you want your bigs on. I mean, I don't like Cleveland because of James and, you know, that's the Mac, and I don't like the owner of the Cash,
right.
You know.
Right.
But I actually like that team because their bigs actually play well together. If you think about it, that's a good fit for Carras because Saxton is out, Rubio is gone, and you got some bigs. He's played with Allen before, so I'm sure he's pretty familiar with his game, kind of like Lance and Sabonis were kind of familiar, and they had it working pretty good when Lance came back, you know?
Right.
So
I think with Miles, man, he wants – it was too much to ask him and Sabonis. That they can play together. Even Carlisle kind of figured. He said that. He said he just said in the news conference. He said the best winning percentage that they had was when both of those guys played. It's just that they never figured out who chance. All right, it's your turn. Okay, it's my turn. Like they never found a proper balance. And I again, Sabonis is a complainer. Miles Turner is immature.
Well, you
so,
know what? I will admit this. Sabonis used to didn't complain. He used to just take that foul. He started to complain. Oh, NBA players complain. They all get on my nerves. Whether who they pay for what, they never commit a foul. I'm like, golly gee, that was a foul. Well, you
right,
can
right.
argue it, you know?
River, right, it used to just be the star player or the coach that would complain to the to the referee. Now we got you know, reserves.
We got breaking news.
Breaking news.
James Floyd, who is the beat writer for the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are not, with capital N-O-T, not trading Buddy Hield ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. Further source, he will most likely make his debut Friday when they host the Cavs and LeVert and will remain with the Pacers. So who will be with this not being traded? Carlisle still loves two shooters. You got Hill as a shooter. You got Halliburton as a shooter as well. Duarte is a shooter. You're starting to get some good shooting on this team. And I don't know if you saw the video from last night, Reg, but I told Jonathan, he's passionate. I love it. I just think he wants something. He wants results produced next year for a team that right now is just trying to work and tread the water to rebuild this or retool for the next 2 years or 3 years further.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, look, he said he didn't want to be part of a rebuild process, but I think the Pacers have gotten better because I like this core of people. And what I really like is, okay, you have these guys that we think are going to start, that are going to be stars for this team, but look at the players we've caught up in the G League. So they're getting valuable experience right now. Even though they're losing, you see the kids are playing hard. Taylor, Washington, who else is out there?
Sykes.
Jackson. Sykes hasn't been getting as much playing. I think they got film on Sykes now. So it's a little harder on him now, you know. And I like him. I don't know if he's still going to be with the Pacers next year. We'll see. He may go back down to the G League. I hope he stays. But, you know, I'm a realist. This is a business, and you know you got to handle your business. But I really like these young guys. And if they're playing this hard now, when we get some starters in, they're gonna have valuable experience coming off the bench. And I think that Taylor kid, I don't know where the heck he came from, but I've been highly impressed with him. The way I was impressed with Brissette last year, and Brissette is still been playing pretty good. He'll hit a 3-foot, and he hustles. They hustle. They're home. And I think that we may not make the playoffs next year. But I think we will have an exciting team. And I do agree with you. Did you say today that Jonathan, I don't know who I heard say this, that Miles, he's not the type of player that goes up and gets the ball like Washington, and he's not a post-up player. And I understand what you said. He's highly inconsistent. I'll give you that. By now, you should be more consistent. But I still, and I've always thought that he's all in. He didn't pull a Paul George. He didn't go to the Indians baseball game and say he's going to be here. And then the next day, asked to be traded. You've seen Miles at the coach game hitting the bell. I saw him on the sideline wearing that ugly Pacers jersey, that one with that looked like a flower child jersey that I hate. And he had that on. Me and Daryl Connor looking like, what the heck he got on, you know, man? Stop dressing like a Westbrook, you know. But I understand the frustration with Miles. And you got to think, how old is Miles? Miles is only 25 years old.
Yeah, but he's been 7 years and hasn't really improved.
I think he's improved. I think he has improved.
Not
I think
to let
he has improved. I think he's just one of
I don't think.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Here's a little concern. Here's a little concern I have. You know, obviously Buddy Hield will still be a Pacer the rest of the season. Off season, though, maybe he gets traded. I mean, right now, guys, if you look at it, he is currently the highest paid Pacer. Overall, he's making $23 million for the last 3 years in his deal. The rest of this year is $23 million, and then $23 million the next 2. He signed a 4-year, $94 million deal back in 2020. Right behind him is Malcolm Brogdon. It was reported today that the Pacers will look to trade Brogdon in the offseason. So, obviously, because you have way too much bigger.
I don't have a problem with them trading Malcolm, especially if we get Jaden Ivey. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I like Malcolm, but he has to – if he can't play shooting guard, then his defense, his defense and Wutzkoff's defense, Lamb's defense, and that's why Miles had to guard the rim so much, because guys are going around him too easily. If you notice, Miles hadn't been playing, and look at the scoring that's up in the game. Look how many 100-point games they're averaging without Miles in the lineup. So, you know, I like Miles better on the defensive side than the offensive side. On the offensive side, if he gives you 14 points, 5 rebounds, so far I'm happy. You know, because I know his defense is impressive.
I want to bring one more into the conversation with us, John. So we have a four-man squad here, 4-on-4. D-Cott, welcome.
Gentlemen.
Oh, no.
So listen, I've listened to this for the last 10 minutes. So let me do my part. JB, you're a lot more calmer today than you were yesterday, and I appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you this, right? We talked about Turner. We talked about all these things. What we've missed is a simple deal with – what about the leadership? I think, JB, you said, hey, Miles hasn't improved, right? Well, okay, is that on just Miles, or is that the leadership and the coaching? He's been in the league 7 years. He's 25 years old. And we say right now he is who he is. But that has to do – coaches are making $6, $7 million a year also, and they're being untouchable. So we got to have some accountability there, right? So as we've had a 24-hour period talking about this trade, one of the things that I like in my counterpart there who so eloquently said, we've got an opportunity, right, to see a bigger picture with the young guys. Listen, a month and a half ago we realized that we weren't going to be a team that was going to be in contention. So don't act as though, okay, let's be okay with 35 wins. We've done that, and we see what it's got us. So, and as I told you guys last night, with every loss, I'm not sad. I'm not sad because it gives us an opportunity. But, JB, like I told you last night, we've got to get rid of the whole front office. If the front office doesn't leave, it won't matter.
Hold on, Daryl. How are you going to say that? And they've made some good trades. If you look at it, they've got the best out of the Paul George trade. They got some bonuses, and they got big. And they were pretty much counterstones here. Then if you look at it, they traded big and got something else. And then if you look at it again, they've traded some bonus and made us younger and more athletic, and we have our point guard of the future. You know, I've been looking at a little things online. They said the Pacers won the draft, A+, and the Kings got a B-. But the Kings fans are pissed because they didn't want to give up him.
They're beyond pissed. But let me tell you this. Here's why I say we made a mistake. We bring in a retread coach who immediately gives a Malcolm Brogdon, who peaked at a rookie year, a 2-year extension when we didn't have to. And Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he have 2 years left on his current deal, on his previous deal? This year and next year, right?
Okay.
So you didn't have to do that. You did that to try to prove a point. You said Rick Carlisle's come in, who's a championship coach. He says Brogdon is our point guard. He peaked at his rookie season. And what we did, we hampered ourselves in trying to make moves because we can't trade him until when? The off season. I don't know,
Daryl,
when
look,
he's
you
played.
Let me share.
So, and this is my challenge. We talk about the leadership. That leadership made that decision. Leadership said, Carlisle, you're our guy. He's not our guy. Coaching says, in the second half of the game, you're going to be better than the first half. We've been the opposite of that. We've been a failed organization in the second half because of leadership, development, and to JB's point, Turner has not become the person or the player beyond what he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. He's the same dude. That's leadership and development.
No, you're a little bit wrong. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. First of all, I think you're probably still mad at Rick Carlisle because of the malice in the palace, because Rick Carlisle, I'm still mad about that too, because he should have took all the starters out, but he was trying to send a message to Detroit that we winning the championship this year. Ain't going to be no block Reggie Miller block thing. We're going to kick y'all in y'all rear. That was the message he was trying to send when he was doing the malice in the palace, and he should have started out of the game because we were whooping that butt. So I know you're still mad about that. I'm mad about that too. But
no, I'm not mad.
The previous
I'm angry.
Coach.
I'm
okay,
still
well, let me
angry.
Finish my point.
I'm still angry.
Let me finish my point. The coach that we just fired before Rick, he did to me. He got Miles driving to the hole more, going to the hole more, playing with more intensity. Yes, there's still room for improvement. I understand. Yes, there's still room for growth. I understand that also. But I like the way he did Coach Miles up. Rick Carlisle don't sign no checks. He can tell people who he wants. And I think he told them who wanted Halliburton. We got Halliburton.
But he's the guy, though. But he's the guy. He's the lead dog. He's who you see. You don't see Larry Bird. You don't see Pritchard. You see the coach. And the coach makes that decision, right? They didn't – listen,
well,
all
no,
I'm saying is
Pritchard
this.
Makes a decision. Pritchard's been awful.
I'm talking about playing time.
The only time
players.
He did.
I'm not talking – when
okay.
you
okay.
get
okay.
the guys, I'm talking about players while they're playing. And all I'm saying
okay.
is this. We've got to do better in the development of players. You got to make better decisions with a more decisive. There was no reason – listen, one of the things that hurt us really big – I'm going to go back to it again. Signing Malcolm Brogdon to that extension handcuffed the organization. There was no need. It's like having a girlfriend and you're taking care of business and you take her out to dinner. Why are you going to buy her a car? You don't need to buy her a car. You already got her. There was no need. So we made a mistake in a leadership deal. We got to speak to that. And I think we all right. saying the same thing. We went on praises to win. But we just missed it on a leadership right. standpoint from my perspective.
So let me
tell you something.
Hold on, hold on, Reg. Let me ask you this. So we're less than, 20 hours now before the trade deadline tomorrow. I personally don't think, I just don't see us making now another move. I think we stick with Miles and see maybe what kind of comes of it maybe in the draft, because we have three of the first 33 picks. We own 11% of the draft. So maybe we can put two first rounds together and Miles for something bigger, or maybe we just kind of run with the draft and see kind of what the offseason gives us with Miles. We'll go in order here. We'll go John, your thoughts on that, and then Reggie, and then Decott.
There's unless a veteran team wants Miles Turner, then I mean, really wants him for their playoff push, and there's no lottery. There's no lottery situation. Somebody says there's a lottery pick back from Miles Turner. So unless the veteran team wants to send us, you know, saying whatever they might have for Miles Turner, that's a possibility. But I think he's here at least till the summertime.
I agree with Jonathan. I think he's here at least to the summertime, unless Boston or somebody unleashes something, or
right.
Lakers unleash something that we got to jump on. I think he's here,
right.
But I'm gonna tell you, we all agree that Malcolm Brogdon can go. And as much as I like T.J. Warren, man, if y'all want to rebuild, get him out of here too. Let's just do it with all you. Let's get him out of here too. You know, I'm just saying. And you know, girl, will tell you at first. Y'all know I've called into the show before. I was anti-blow this team up. I said we got to get through these injuries
Word.
And see what we actually have. But
right.
now that Kevin finally did two things right, as long as he's been here, I'm willing to go ahead and renew my 23-game package.
Hey, I'm with you, and I'll segue to that. I'm with you. Listen, I can't stand. First of all, I can't stand agreeing with anything Reggie said. But with that said, my boy, and I are lockstep, right? So what I will say is this, right? You've got to look and say, what do we want to do? You got an owner who says we're not going to go over the luxury tax. So right there, you got one handcuff on you, right? So then what do? You say, I've got to find guys who want to be in, and I'm not going to ever say Indiana and small market. This is Indiana. So I got a guy that wants to be here, i.e. Reggie Miller from Los Angeles, California, said he loves being in Indiana. If you're in Indiana, if you're an L.A. guy and you want to be in Indiana, there's something to it. So you got to get the right guy. Thirdly, so what we've got to do is say, listen, we got to cut our losses where we need to. Malcolm Brogdon, if you can get something strong for him, he's not going to be your effective guy. Got to go. Turner, I want Turner to stay. This is where I differ from you all. I want Turner to stay. He has never been in a situation where he's been looked at as a leader. This is his opportunity. I always talk about his dad because just something about his dad just gets me going, right? He has an opportunity to say, I'm going to be a guy who's going to help us be great, not make us be great, help us be great.
Didn't he have that already when Victor went down with injury? Wasn't he the main go-to guy then when Vic went down?
In my opinion, it was window dressing because he was always looked at as a spot-up shooter and a rim protector. What I'm saying is this: we got a guy who says, "I want to fight." Right? If we don't have a guy guarding the rim, we're the Harlem Globetrotters. It is 175 to 160 with the New Jersey Generals. I don't want that.
Bro, I hate agreeing
with coach,
you. I hate agreeing
as
with
a you. As a coach, you got to stop them. And believe me, I know the coaching end. You got to stop them. If you don't stop them, it doesn't matter. You've got to have some threat. And all I'm just saying is we've got to come together and have some real strong decisions on guys that we might like. But those guys are Larry Bird, Pritchard's understudy. They've got to go.
Man, stop saying Larry Bird. Larry Bird's a consultant. He ain't even in the building anymore. He ain't making no decisions. Stop saying Larry Bird, man. Go on with your point.
Him and Carlisle are like you and I. For some reason, they don't see one without the other. Carlisle and Larry are like that. And I hate saying that because you know I hate you. But what I'm saying is that's an understanding. You got to have that. I'm going to renew next year anyway. It doesn't matter. But the point,
okay.
The talent. And I'll, right. say, I'll end this with this. The challenge is we've got to be better up front, meaning the leadership and the management has to be better and better style. So I'll leave it at that.
And then my last two things before I let you go, Reggie, I'll go you first on this one. Super Bowl prediction.
Oh, I'm in. Cincinnati and take the under. Cincinnati and take the under. I'm going all in. Listen, I haven't won any money. Listen, let me tell you, I haven't won any money on the NFL all year.
And you ain't gonna win them Sunday either.
Let me finish. Other than the playoff weekend 2 weeks ago, I made my money on college. But I'm telling you, I've got a feeling it's Cincinnati and the under. I'm saying Cincinnati 28, Los Angeles Rams 17. Book it. Cash out your 401k. Kick your wife out. 28-17, Cincinnati. Over the Ram. I'll leave it
there. I'm going to give you this advice for free. That's why Daryl Cott is in Facebook jail now, because he's threatening people in Chicago, telling them that they can blow their whole city up because the whole sports franchise is in Chicago.
Oh,
so that's why you're in Facebook jail right now. Secondly, your sponsor, Scott Nichols, is in a Facebook group with us on sports. And he trolls the Pacers left and right. Shout out to Scott Nicholson, State Farm Insurance, for sponsoring your show and allowing me and Daryl Cott to call in. But we totally disagree with his James like himself. We totally disagree with him because he's a Lions fan. We totally disagree with him because he changes teams with James every 3 years. But thank you anyway, Scott Nicholson. So don't take no advice from either of those guys. So I'm telling you, the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl and take the over 54.5. The score is going to be
35-28 Rams.
If you're getting to 54.5, you're getting screwed because it's at 48.5 right now.
Yeah, when I bought in, it was 54.5.
Oh man, that's not the bad end of it. All right, my last question
Before you hang up, hold on. Before you hang up on me, what is your prediction? You and Jonathan, I missed that part. I didn't hear your prediction.
I said Bengals plus 4.5 is what I took. I think Stafford tries to play too safe of a game in this one, but I think it's a defensive game. I take the under below 48 and the Bengals plus 4.5. And Reggie, tune in. First 15 minutes of the show, I have like 6 prop bets I put that I really, really like. So listen into those prop bets I put on there.
Okay, I'm gonna go check them out.
And then Jonathan took the Rams minus. Hell, he said Rams by 6 or 7 is what Jonathan said. He's picking.
He must ate that Twix bar. Good job, Jonathan.
And then by the way, Pacers are still mulling the decision to buy out Tristan Thompson or play him, per source. The 6'9 big man's in his final year contract, owed $9 million.
Gotta play him.
Get him out of here. Get him. He's a cancer to a team. Get him.
No, he's not.
Salary dump Ricky Rubio. He's a cancer to a team. Get him out of here. We don't need him.
He's not a cancer. He's an innocent guy.
My last question, and you both are vamoosed. Jonathan, who between these two is the number one caller?
Jonathan, don't mess this up, Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Don't mess this up, Jonathan. Hey, he thought the Tide was gonna win. So if you pick him, you're picking a loser, in the championship game.
Clearly, you didn't listen to this call. Hey, listen, Jonathan. He clearly didn't listen to the call, but he's got to be gone. I didn't tell y'all that. I told y'all
Brandon, that's baloney. I want to say thanks, guys, for calling tonight, and thanks for calling tonight that you called. You know what I'm saying? There's no number one caller. There's folks on the live chat with badges and whatnot, supporters, diamond badges. They know who they are. You know what I'm saying? Both you gentlemen, you know what I'm saying, bring great colorful commentary to the show. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have a left guard, you also gotta have a left tackle, man. There's no way, you know what I'm saying? There's no way you can go out there without either one of them.
Jonathan, you are a smart man.
Hey guys, take care, be safe, and love the show. We'll keep on listening.
All right, thanks, guys. Hey, by the way, both of you, make sure you get your girls something. It's Valentine's Day coming up. All right.
I just bought a new house.
I'm broke.
Man, I just bought a new house, man.
All right.
I just paid my mortgage payment. I'm good.
Oh, Lord. All right. See y'all.
Later.
Wow. It's peaceful again, John. It's quiet. But we love the guys.
Takeover.
It is. That's kind of how I feel sometimes when you guys are going at it. I'm just sitting back, just listening into that circus. You were riding a little too free tonight, so I had to pop the question, who's the number one caller at the end. So
that's all good.
Yeah, I had to pop it in there. John, looking at the other NBA, rest around the NBA, Brooklyn right now. Brooklyn went from the number one seed to Kyrie not playing. It was James Harden and Durant. Then Harden's been sitting out. Durant's been hurt sitting out. Kyrie's been back on road games only. Brooklyn right now is the number 8 seed. They've fallen all the way now to number 8 in the East. There's still the talk with Harden to the Sixers for Simmons. But then now there's a report from Woj saying that the trade's not going to – there won't be a trade tomorrow. Another analyst is saying there could be a trade tomorrow, and they're still talking. Somebody's saying their trades have broken off. So, man, what do you do with Brooklyn? Do you just wait for Durant?
Between Woj and Winhurst, man, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of like our two callers, you know what I'm saying, Reg and Decott, man, left arm, right arm. Both of them know what the hell they're talking about. I would say, Brandon, there's no way that I could make that trade we live in a new NBA anyway, okay? Player, you know what I'm saying, it's more player power, and you know what I'm saying, personnel, they have more say on who comes and goes. And you know what I'm saying, we also look at, you know what I'm saying, salary cap, and you know what I'm saying, do I want to pay the luxury tax to have a super team, or, you know what I'm saying, going further. With that being said, man, I can't wrap my mind around trading within the division. Trading in your conference is one thing. I know the Pacers just made LeVert to the Cavs, you know what I'm saying? But that's not that level of an impact that you're talking about, sending James Harden to the Philadelphia 76ers for Ben Simmons. Two, you know what I'm saying, all-stars, you know what I mean? And I get it, two pouting all-stars, two all-stars who are in one MVP, you know what I'm saying, who have some limitations to their game, or and some would say even dedication, you know what I'm saying, to their game, is kind of comes into question, you know. But I couldn't imagine, you know what I'm saying, making that trade, because you're going to eventually see that team, if not in the regular season, then potentially in the playoffs, you know what I mean? So, and it's not like he's going to go over and say, oh, man, I know what they're going to run right now. I mean, they know what everybody's going to run. I'm just saying, you have that added fuel. Oh, it didn't work out here. I'm going, you know what I'm saying, you had to add a fuel where if Ben Simmons goes to, and he ain't played all season, so again, man, it's also a question mark, is he in shape to make a playoff run? And then you still got team continuity issues. And then, you know, you trade Harden over. If you trade Harden to the Sixers, man, is he in shape? You know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying, do you trust that hamstring? You know what I mean? That caused him problems late in the season last year. So, I'm not Windhorse. I ain't Wojo. But, you know what I'm saying, I study this stuff just like, I'm not an insider, but I am, you know what I'm saying, kind of on the inside, because I study this stuff and I look at the map and I understand player contracts more so better than anybody. You know what I'm saying? I will pat myself on the back a little bit in that regard. I can't see this trade happening until the summertime. I'm being for real. Because Daryl Morey, general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, likes James Harden. They have a history together in Houston, right? You know what I'm saying? He brought James Harden over from Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? He likes how he plays. He knows, he thinks he can get the best out of James Harden, right? But he also wants – he ain't just trying to do a one-for-one for James Harden, you know what I'm saying, versus, you know what I'm saying, when he sends Ben Simmons back. And then the Brooklyn Nets ain't stupid, you know? They don't – they saw what Ben Simmons turned into, you know what I'm saying, going down the final, you know what I'm saying? He couldn't shoot. He didn't want to shoot. Great defensive player, great, you know what I'm saying? He's almost kind of like a 6'10" version of Russell Westbrook, you know what I'm saying? Great full court player, can finish at the rim, rebounds well, offense and defense, but he can't shoot. And right. In the NBA, you got to be able to shoot, you know? And Kevin Durant is not on – like, let me help this kid develop, even though he is an all-star. He's not on that timetable, you know what I mean? He's on a timetable because, again, you know, all these dudes have different motivations, man. LeBron James has motivation, you know what I'm saying? They could automatically credit it to Michael Jordan. Well, guess what? Think that, and he doesn't openly, you know what I'm saying, wear that necessarily on his sleeve, you know what I'm saying, openly. I think it does. I think it is in his mind. This is why, he, you know what I'm saying, he's always, you know saying, tweaking teams or whatever, right? But Kevin Durant, when pressed, Still takes it on the chin when people say, oh, you won those rings with Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Right. Stephen A, he has a tweeter. I like, dude, that's unheard of. You know, and I'm not saying guys don't get into it with media. That's untrue. That's nothing new. Deion Sanders, I do believe it was over 30 years ago, he poured a vat or a tub of Gatorade on the, was it Tim McCurtain? It might have been, no, it might not have been. It was somebody. I find the video for you. He poured a bag, like, you know what I'm saying? Somebody wrote something bad for him. He's playing for Atlanta. And somebody wrote something bad about it. And the reporter was in the locker room, and Deion made way to pour the Gatorade over him. So he started running that mouth. It came off as a bully, right? Well, same thing kind of happened on Twitter between Durant and Stephen A. And they, people, a lot of times people think Stephen A got an axe to grind or he has an agenda. They listen, Stephen A is a know-it-all. I think he used to be better than he is right now. I think he's got a lot of acting And, you know what I mean, again, I'm not trying to run you down too much. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows my opinion on ESPN and some of their people that they have on the show. But he just says the things that people say in barbershops and around the water cooler. Oh, man, you know, he went out, he joined forces because he couldn't beat LeBron. He joined forces because he couldn't beat Golden State. And though he went out there and he won two championships and he was the MVP of the finals, still in the air. So he pushed, he could, and Brandon, he could have resigned with the Warriors. Do not, dude, listen, I just told you, I'm an insider, somewhat. They would have traded everybody, including, not Steph, but they would have traded everybody, including potentially Splash Brother. I don't, you know, I don't think it would have came to that, but because they could have got everybody underneath the salary cap, but Draymond wouldn't have been there if they didn't, if they wanted to retain the services of Kevin Durant. He chose to go somewhere else and to make his own team. This is his mess. Everybody wants to play the GM and take responsibility for it when it ain't time to take responsibility for it. This is his mess. Kyrie Irving is quirky, always has been, even when he was in Cleveland. James Harden, Skip Bayless told me one time, don't trust James. You can't trust James Harden late in the season. And it has never failed ever since he left Oklahoma. You can't trust him to make the right play. You can't trust him to be in shape. It's always something. So it's right. Wild to me. It's wild, Brandon. It's wild. They were the number one team. Last year, everybody said, healthy, together, they'll blow through the season. Boom, they did. But guess what? Unfortunately, the season is a marathon, not a sprint, and you have to have a team that's able to weather a storm. They didn't have enough pieces on the bench to weather a storm. A storm being an injury, a guy being out with a little sprained ankles, guy being out with long term with the MC or whatever, because those things do happen. If now an older team now, you got to look for LaMarcus Aldridge. His great days are passing. You got to look on the bench and look towards Blake Griffin. His LA days, what they used to call him, Brandon, Boom City, Lob City. Mm-hmm. I said Boom City. those days are past. Those days are long gone. So, you know, Kevin Durant, unfortunately, is out for, he took an injury back on January 16th. MCL, it's not a tear, but it's a strain or whatever, and that's not nothing you can just bounce back up and put a knee brace on and come on out there and play your best. So he's got to take a good 4 to 6 weeks out. You know what I'm saying? It looks like it's going to be the latter, like really 6 weeks. And they haven't been able to weather the storm. Yes, Kyrie and Harden have played together, not played together, but they're on an 8-game losing streak. And tomorrow they play the Wizards. I think it's a away game. So you have Kyrie available to play tomorrow. No Bradley Beal tomorrow. They really need to get this win tomorrow. I know one game. Everybody says NBA one game don't matter. This game really matters because now they're falling into play-in circumstances going further. Kevin Durant ain't walking through that door in the next 2 weeks. Maybe the next 3 weeks he might, right? So what do you do if you're the Brooklyn Nets? Do you make that trade to bring in? You know what I mean? I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens, you know what I'm saying, within the next 24 hours. That would be really messy. You know what I'm saying? They would want it to happen, Brooklyn. I think they would because they are mashing, and then you get a young guy ready to go, right? All you got to do is get him in shape, right? And I'm not saying that's all you got to do, but you got to get him in shape and get him up to speed on what you run, you know. But I don't think it happens I think it happens over the summertime. And it might involve another third team to facilitate the trade and all that thing, you know what I'm saying, to get the pieces, you know what I'm saying? Because they were talking about moving – Philadelphia was talking about they had to move to Tobias Harris as well. Not to Brooklyn, but to another team to bring in James Harden to fit underneath the salary cap. Because again, all those things matter. But Brandon, the proposed trade is like sending Maxey, who's an up and coming, who's their up and coming wing guard, point guard, and Ben Simmons to the Nets for James Harden and future considerations. Because again, you know my guy, Daryl Morey is always going to make sure that he gets his ass covered for the future, 2023, 2024, 2025. You know what I'm saying? So, So I don't know, man. Like, the Nets would want those pieces. Maxey is a great up-and-coming player. Ben Simmons can't shoot worth a lick, but great, up, you know, it's an all-star level type of player, up-and-coming guy. They need that. But I just can't see the Philadelphia 76ers just saying, here, and give us Harden, who is always nursing an injury or always coming up short, you know what I'm saying, in April or May.
Damn. I agree. No, I agree with you on that. Let's look. Let's go out west to a team that's kind of, you know who I'm talking about, the Los Angeles Lakers, who got dog walked.
Man, it's the same. It's not the same. Different set of circumstances of why we are here. General manager LeBron, right? But here's the thing, man. And I'm people's like, well, you giving an excuse? No, man. You telling me Russell Westbrook, when the day he retires, is walking into the Hall of Fame, moonwalking, slide, you know what I'm saying, sidestepping, whatever, icky shuffle, whatever. So if you're telling me, oh, I can either play with Buddy Hield and DeMar DeRozan or Westbrook, who was Buddy Hield compared to Westbrook? DeMar DeRozan was an afterthought. I mean, remember, they traded DeMar DeRozan and they won a damn championship in Toronto.
Right.
Okay? Now, he's had a facelift of a career, but, you know, it was once he got to Chicago, because he was also forgot about when he played the 2 years he played in San Antonio. People forgot about him, right? So, but complementary to what they run with Anthony Davis and what LeBron brings to the game at this advanced age, it's not a good pairing with Russell Westbrook's skill set. It's not. They thought it was going to be Showtime, because we know both of those guys have been through their careers, has been able to extend their athleticism well into their 30s, and to be able to play some resemblance of, like, unbelievable type of defense, but it's not been that with LeBron or and especially with Russell Westbrook. It's like he's out there lost. So yesterday after the game, because of the benching, because I really believe the benching has kind of came from on high.
Right.
Ownership and management said, hey, that makes us look bad. Because you know what? Ownership and management, they listen to LeBron, but you know who else they listen to, America? I'm here, don't fall out. They listen to Magic Johnson. That dude, you talk about, I mean, Larry Bird is like the guy that Simon trusts, and he's a advisor. Guess who's also advising, you know what I'm saying, who also is chirping in on, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As soon as something goes awry with the Lakers, it's always Magic Johnson comes out and says, man, that ain't, you know what I mean? They're not playing right. You know what I mean? So, Magic Johnson's still thinking like how he would play, how they would do it back in, you know what I'm saying, 35 years ago. If the guy ain't playing, whether he's a star or whatever, bitch. Well, you know, the guys now take that to heart, take that to, you know what I mean? And you know, the fourth quarter, Russell Westbrook hasn't been playing. They've won some games. They've lost some games, too. But, like, the news conference crap yesterday, it's crap.
Did you hear him? Yeah,
because
he went
He blamed Vogel. He blamed Vogel in a sneak this type of way, when you know it ain't just Frank Vogel that make that decision to have you sit. It's part of the reason is on you, bro. You're a professional basketball player. If you can't outshoot Jonathan Bersaw and Brandon Reeves, then damn it. I get it that you're a Hall of Famer, but you can't just lean on that, Russell, if you're listening. You know what I'm saying? So they benched him because it has become an embarrassment. I feel like now he feels embarrassed. So, you know, he took the opportunity to throw shots. They got to find a way to convince another team to take, I think, what he's got, the half of this year, the rest to be paid, and another $47 million for next year. They got to figure out how to move that contract because, one, the product hasn't worked on the floor, and now it's going to become a circus if we continue to let LeBron talk, AD talk, and then Russell talk, and he's basically tearing down everything, even in a win or loss. They have to move away from Russell Westbrook.
So
they have to.
The latest talks are all signs are, and this was reported an hour ago, all signs are pointed to the Lakers waiting until this summer to move Russell Westbrook, since they'll have both their 27 and 29 first-round picks to attach to a potential trade. They said that could also change. Lakers are unlikely to trade Russell Westbrook also unless LeBron deems John Wall a better fit, and then Westbrook would go back to Houston and Wall then would come to L.A. But it's funny, it says if LeBron deems John Wall a better fit than Brody.
Nah, man. You know, listen. Oh man, I could go to, you want me to go to this Kentucky route, Claire? No, I'm not gonna do that, man. John Wall, that train is long left, man. I don't know why Houston has kind of said that. That's why NBA, sometimes you have to look at NBA franchises with a raised eyebrow. I'm like, man, well, you just gonna let that dude sit for $45 million? You're not gonna try to find a trade party, or you're not gonna try to buy him out? That particular skill set, as far as him being a, I don't know, man. He's never really been on the championship level or even playoff level team, has he? I don't think they made the playoffs. If they did, it was only 1 year when he was with the Wizards.
Right.
How many moons ago was that? He's been often injured. Can you? I can't see LeBron. I think they actually share some of the same management or whatnot, or you know what I mean, or agents or whatever. But I can't see LeBron going. You know what I'm saying? That's like going to Google when looking for answers, man. Going to John Wall. I don't foresee John Wall being in a Laker uniform. Not for a trade for Russell Westbrook. I don't see that at all.
Okay. We have breaking news again.
Watch, he just got traded.
Good trade. Reported former Major League Baseball player Jeremy Giambi has passed away at 47.
What?
Not Jason Giambi, the one that played for the Yankees, but his brother, Jeremy.
No, I know his brother. He played for the Oakland A's.
Yes, passed away.
Wow, man, that's tough.
That's all the information I have on Twitter. But he has passed away at the age of 47. So, man.
That's
shocking
a bummer,
to me. It is a bummer. I know. I hated to go to freaking bad news like that, but it was one of those you had to put it on. I had to make sure. I had to look and see what it was. I saw Giambi. I had to look and see if it was Jason or Jeremy. I mean, it's bad either one, but still. So rest in peace to him and condolences to his family.
Right.
Switching gears, John, we got a couple minutes left, 12 minutes left or so.
Yeah.
College basketball-wise, USI, I went to USI for 2 years down in southern Indiana. They decided to go Division I, which is great for a school that only had about 9,000-10,000 students, and now it's a well over, I don't know what they are now. I know it's over 20-some thousand. They've built up the campus. They announced today they will be joining the Ohio Valley Conference, the likes of where Belmont was, John Morant's Murray State. Murray State, right? That's where he went? John Morant?
Yeah.
Murray State. So Ohio Valley Conference, USI is into that conference now, going Division I. So shout out to them. Looking forward to that. Purdue, John. Purdue is down by 4 at halftime. Jaden Ivey had 4 points. Second half last night against Illinois, 24 points. Boilers damn near win by 20 against Illinois. They take a sweep of Illinois. It was reported that on the way out, some of the people heard some Illinois people say that'll be the last time they'll come to Purdue because it was too loud for them.
Well, you know what, Brandon? You can't spell two L's. You can't spell Illinois without two L's. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Purdue served up this year for Illinois, two L's. I can't speak highly enough of Purdue this particular year. Jaden Ivey's playing incredible. I would say Zach Edey is also playing very well. He should definitely get some Big Ten honors. Trevion Williams also playing very well. He should definitely also get some Big Ten honors. They've had in recent games. After the IU game, I think they got a eye-opener, right? Because they probably felt they were still the better team, and it's kind of let it get away from them. But they've had some good guard play from the guards, whether it was Hunter Jr. or even Sasha, right? They've all played better. I just hope they continue. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go undefeated, you know what I'm saying, the rest of the way. There's still some tough games they have ahead of them. I just hope, you know what I'm saying, from a, you know, because, I mean, you know, it's a friend of the program, right? They are to our show. I hope they, you know what I'm saying, continue to do what they do, what they're capable of, win the Big Ten, and take the same energy that they had when they, you know what I'm saying, when they beat, you know, the early in the season, when they beat Villanova and they beat North Carolina and they, you know what I'm saying, they put on a show and beat Illinois, take that same energy into the tournament. Because you can't, this program is too good to have a one and done where they lost, where you lose to Texas Abilene, or a one and done where you lose, you know what I'm saying, in the second round. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be some push, you know what I mean, when they have to play against some of the other, there's some other good teams out here. Gonzaga's good.
Michigan tomorrow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But take that same energy and that same, you know what I'm saying, want that they had when they, this year, and take that into the tournament. I think they're definitely on their way to, you know what I'm saying, to they'll be there right there to win the Big Ten regular season title.
Okay. Now I'm gonna have you take your gloves off. You can do like a 5-minute rant here. Indiana Hoosiers, John, last night.
Nah, it's not gonna be 5 minutes, man, because I'm gonna talk about IUPUI right after we talk about.
Go ahead. So, five players suspended, two starters. My oh my.
What selfishness, right? So again, man, I'm not gonna cast anybody, you know what I'm saying, stones for taking little puffs of the what Dad Flanders calls the devil's lettuce. But during the course of the season, when you're competing and you're trying to win, you're trying to get back into, you know what I'm saying, putting your team back into the tournament, putting IU back onto the college map of importance. You know what I'm saying? You take this time to you know what I'm saying, take a little puff. That's totally selfish on those players that did that. This team is not built to withstand, you know what I'm saying, losing two pieces, much less five, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, these are grown men, you know what I'm saying, young men. They made a mistake. I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, they can't, you know what I'm saying, come back from this in any standpoint and try to put a pretty bow on their season. But that's a very winnable game against Northwestern. But you didn't make yourself available to beat Northwestern because y'all chose to party it up before and not after. You can party all you want after the season. Drink all the Miller Lights, Bush Lights that you want. You know what I'm saying? Smoke all the dope that you want. You know what I'm saying? Afterwards, man, you can. I'm probably a proponent instead of an opponent of marijuana. You know what I'm saying? But like during the season, that's totally selfish, and you know what I'm saying, that's not. You know what I'm saying? That's not a team thing, man. It's not. So I can't condone that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, John, with the IUPUI.
No, man. So I got an opportunity. Our show got an opportunity to check out the local Jaguar, IUPUI Jaguars here in town. And, you know what I'm saying, Coach Crenshaw, who we had on here had on our airwaves two times, you know what I'm saying, when he was assistant with Ball State and when he was named head coach here this past year of IUPUI. You know what I'm saying, we spent some time talking with him, asking him loads of questions about basketball, both college, collegiate, and professionally. You know what I'm saying, he's great engagement ambassador and coach of basketball. And right now, man, he's having the toughest time. Of a first-year coach, man. They're dead last in all the categories that you're not supposed to be dead last in basketball. scoring, rebounding, all those things, man. Don't bother looking it up. Just take my word for it. You know what I mean? So we got an opportunity to, you know what I'm saying, just go out there and check them out because they're having a tough time playing with six guys. It's hard to win basketball games when you don't have reserves and you can't, you know what I'm saying, execute, you know what I'm saying, you strategize. So, you know, if you think about playing with six people, you can't foul, and even in a close game, because, Brandon, and I'm going to try to work on you, I am, man, because they got like two more home games, and I'll get on the attendance here in a second, but the team is very capable of winning games, and they play in the Horizon League, right? The team is very capable of winning games. They just don't have enough guys to fill out a roster because of, you know what I'm saying, guys transferred, last year, And, you know, saying they have the a returning guy who was basically a star player, right, from last year's team, towards ACL the first game. You know what I'm saying? So they had some great challenges in front of them all this season. They're like 1-18. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, as much as in Indiana or even Indianapolis says they are, you know what I'm saying, basketball crazy. People, you know what I'm saying, I get it. They, you know, who wants to go see a loser? Everybody should be doing themselves a favor and go see the next home game of the Jaguars. I'll be there because I got media credentials, you know what I'm saying, and we're going to, you know what I'm saying, get deep, you know what I'm saying, look at, and, you know, I watched him play Robert Morris closely till basically they just didn't have enough bodies to because, like, the other team, they ain't just going to play six. They're going to play that full roster. And then you just, right. You know what I'm saying, these guys just going to get tired, you know, at some point. So they, you know what I'm saying, they put out a tweet, you know what I'm saying, they having tryouts for IEPI students, you know what I'm saying. I think a lot of local radio got a kick out of it and laughed about it. I don't think it's funny because if I was in shape and I was registered at IEPI, I'd probably be out there.
I would.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to reach you those bags in. I thumped through of my conditioning, man. I ain't going to be able to get out there, you know what I'm saying. But, like, nah, man, anybody who says they are a basketball fanatic, I challenge you, man. Go see the Jaguars, man. You'll see great coaching. You'll see great play on the floor. You might not see a dub, you know what I'm saying, from the Jaguars, you know what I'm saying, if you go in there rooting for them, but you will see an atmosphere that needs to be supported. And I would say whether you are IU, a PUI, you know what I'm saying, alumni or fan or not, I mean, just go out there and check them out. They play, I mean, you know, like I said, they are trying. And, I mean, and that's what Hoosier Hysteria is about, you know what I'm saying? The little
yep.
guy trying to get over it, and that's what it is.
Okay. Shout out IUPUI. Let's get it. Maybe finish out the season strong and to go into next year. So, John, I'll let you wrap us, my man. Super Bowl Sunday.
Ooh, man, we didn't even get to talk about Duke losing. Thanks, or Duke,
hey, by the way, John
Rahm
has been open this weekend. John Rahm, saying it now.
Oh, right. Right, right. We didn't talk about Duke losing or the Duke blowing out the block to North Carolina Tar Heels. When we ever get Tanner back on, we remind him about that. But no, man, we had a great show today. Thanks to Decott and Reggie for calling in. Thanks to all the folks for chiming in, Justin, Tamika, Kelly. I see him on the live feed. Thanks to our sponsors, Mavericks Motor Custom Sports. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our sponsors, Three Wiseman Logistics. Man, great show, Brandon. Oh, dude, I totally watched the whole Busch Light series, NASCAR race last week, just to see Ice Cube perform last week in Los Angeles. Man, next time we get on, I'll kind of chime in about that as well, man. But, like, no, man, great show. I know we're hedging for time here, man. We're going to try to, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have a great – everybody have a great Super Bowl weekend. Have a great Valentine's weekend. Me and Brandon will be back next Wednesday to do it all over again, if not bigger, if not better. Hopefully the Pacers still got a team intact and don't trade away everybody, man. Outside of that, man, thanks for listening.
And beware, we might be on Facebook Live tomorrow if some other news hits the trade. So be ready.
Absolutely.
See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.